because we are using the venue outside our venues, so I thought it was always good to ensure that I give 10 minutes for everybody to find the way here. I'm happy we are now all here. So if you can all feel welcome, and again, let's do what we are expected to do by the people of South Africa. Public Works is one department that makes South Africa works. The Deputy Minister is around as always, so we're quite happy that the Portfolio Committee is always given a priority. There are quite a number of issues and the commitment that we want him to attend to, but he always prioritizes the portfolio. I'm not happy about that, meaning the ministry represented. The department also, I can see the tall gentleman is around. So, so I still must study the faces of everybody. So each time we meet, we'll always afford you opportunities to introduce yourself. So to assist me as well. So because we have added two main issues, we had one, we have added one beside the minute, so I won't really take much time in the opening. Safe to say the meeting is open and you are all welcome. Thank you very much. The apologies, I want to check with the secretary if anything.
Thank you, Chairman, and very good morning to everyone. Honorable members of the committee at the division of the department. I've got two apologies registered first, Honorable Leanne Matthews from the ESF is not able to join us today because she's attending two organizational prisons, as well as Mr. Gautami, who is attending another committee meeting. Thank you, Chairman.
And if I could ask Chairperson that the minister is away and that is out of this, so
thank you very much. I would love that somebody must be ready to move around the room in my, this time was the person on the platform. So somebody must do that, must be ready to do that. So not everybody is going to remember, others are staff to support us. So I hope I won't run short of people who must do that. So that what the Deputy Minister has said can be recorded. In fact, Sam, maybe if you can borrow the Deputy Minister so that is recorded, what he has just said is recorded. It's always good to use
it. You're assuming that I can remember what it is I said.
You can replay it.
I was apologizing on behalf of the minister who is away on official business.
Thank you very much. I think that all those apologies are accepted. Honorable Katas Tole is nodding. David is nodding, so apologies are approved. We then move to the next item, the adoption of the minutes of the meeting held on the 7th November 2017. I hope, honorable members, you have copies of those minutes. We start by looking at the first page. If there's anything to correct, we do everything as we move. Let's look at the first page dealing with our names. The Honorable Masihela.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Where's the Robin Mike? I wanted an active ambition. Can you do that? Take the mic to Honorable Masihela.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I thought maybe you will let the department present and then we do the minutes here. We are already done with them and it is only the committee that is doing it.
Okay. So if Honorable Rumas are fine with that, it's always a good thing. Not that you are hiding anything. So we'll then jump the minute. We'll then go straight to the presentation. The first presentation will be the briefing by the Department of Public Works and the Prestige Management Entity on more information required as requested by the committee during its presentation on the work of the Parliament Villages Board on the 24th October 2017. I will then hand over to the department. Maybe the first thing would be to introduce the team and noting that the DM is with you. Then I will hand over to the DM and you will see what to do. Thank you very much.
I think the acting DG will be there.
Thank you very much.
That's very much honorable chair, honorable members. Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Dem Bukela. Morning, dear. We in the department, I've got colleagues here. I will ask them to introduce themselves to them quickly.
Honourable Chair, good morning, honourable members, Deputy Minister, EPG. My name is Basil Kosan, Chief Director of Prestige. My chairperson, good morning, members of the Public Committee, DG. My name is Dale Tolle, I'm from the PWC, I'm the President of the DG, PWC, the Council of the Minister.
Good morning,
honourable
members
of the
Public My name is Dr. Eric Mosakele, Chief Director for EPWC Monitoring Laboration.
Okay. Morning, Chair, and I would like to give thanks to Mikhail Collins, my dear PO. Morning, Chair, and honorable members here. My name is Masalai Makali from the Office of the Director General.
Thank you very much.
Good morning, Chair, honorable members, DM, acting DG colleagues. My name is Lydia Pinky. I'm the acting head of CMCD.
Good morning, Chair, and honorable members, Deputy Minister and acting DG. My name is Fred Johnson, the regional manager for the Western Cape.
Good morning, honorable members and honorable Chair. My name is Mola Jelo Moasa. I'm the Chief Director of Intergovernmental Coordination. I'm also representing the DDG Intergovernmental Coordination, Mr. Punjab Madhuri.
Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Tando Mesmeri Zwababa, Ministry Department of Public Works.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, members of the Post Control Committee, DG, and Deputy Minister. My name is Masoko Mekizi from Prestige Kitan Regional Office.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Now going to add your names into your faces. Over to you, acting DG.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. The approach that we are going to take today, we are going to start with the EPWC. Mr. Pille, Dr. Sekena will take us through that work. The documents that are there, there is also a narrative document for EPWP. It's more to supply more information that may be required in the discussion. And thereafter, we can take a presentation on that prestige. There's also a narrative document that responds to questions that were asked in the previous session for us to actually deal with that in time. So I'll hand over to my colleague to run through the presentation on EPWP.
Thank you, Chair. Just in form of introduction, we thought it was very important just to mention that, as you would have noticed, there often seems to be an underperformance in terms of EPWP, in terms of target companies. Now, I think it's important to state from the outset that what we've discovered is there's two main reasons for this. One is just the underreporting by public bodies, and two is the poor reporting by public. And you would see any financial year, there's normally a pickup, right, and a gradual increase towards the third and fourth quarter of the quarter. So you will see that coming through in the presentation. Just to indicate that. For the past year, 2 years, we've had this issue of underreporting the targets of something yet. And in order to work towards achieving these targets, there's two things that we've done to ensure accountability amongst the different tiers of government. One is we've asked all provincial departments responsible for the public works function to include in their APT the work opportunities target for that particular province. So what that means is that provincial public works departments in the province will now begin to take accountability for their targets in that province. We've seen some successes and that will be evident from quarter one data so far. Obviously there's been successes and areas that really have challenges, but we're dealing with the areas that have challenges to the various structures in the MPWP, particularly the provincial state committee. The second is through our national coordinating committee, which is made up of senior officials of the Department of Public Works and the Interior Department. In these meetings, we've emphasized the targets that were approved by cabinet. We've written now on a quarterly basis to provincial departments and to the Interior Department, informing them of one of the targets, two of the underperformance. And we have seen that this has had some sort of success, at least in the last two quarters. The third thing that we've done is we've escalated the issue of EPWP reporting to the Presidential Coordination Council. This is where the President meets with the Premier. And it is the first time that a decision was taken that the EPWP reporting system will be the sole reporting system of EPWP. So if the EPWP data will be quoted by any government official, they will have to use what's on the system. What they've done is bring everyone on par. So the provincial departments no longer rely on what they think they have as data. They would have to use us officially on the EPWP reporting system. So all of this in the last 6 months, we've seen successes, and Dr. Mr. Kenny will speak to it in his presentation. I think essentially what we're trying to do with EPWP from a national perspective is to bring in accountability at the right levels, ensure officials that are responsible for the function of coordinating the EPWP are taking this account and data seriously. Thank you, Chair. I think this is the end. We'll continue with the presentation.
Thank you. I will be running through the presentation. Firstly, starting with the outline, I will talk about the EPWP target and how are we achieving the EPWP phase 25. This is the target from 2014 to 2019. I will be giving an overview to show whether we're going or we're likely to meet our significant target or not. Then I will as well show the annual performance and work opportunities for the financial year. And I will as well give a variance report. A variance report will normally track performance of EPWP every day. So what we do here, we provide last week's data and we compare how much data came into the system. We see either a week people with disabilities. I would largely talk about the strategic intervention. What are we doing as the coordinating department to ensure that the EPWP program is not proper? So the first slide here is just a recap of what are the targets for EPWP from 2014 to 2019. You will see that on a year-to-year basis, we are adding additional million jobs or work opportunities. That's why if you look at the far end on the totals, you will see it's come out to 6.7 million. It means that in 2014, we were supposed to create 1 million work opportunities, and now we are at 2017-18, where we're supposed to create 1.4 million work opportunities. And then last year, it will be 2018-19, where we're supposed to create 1.4 as well. So the graph at the bottom, the black graph there, it shows each sector. That's the breakdown per sector. As we have said, that there were four sectors for environment and culture, which at, by the end of 2019 should have created 1.1 million. The biggest is the infrastructure sector, which should create 4.5 million opportunities. And we have got CWP and our NGOs, which is our NPOs, that we are implementing through IDG, which should create 267 opportunities. This slide shows from 2014 to 2018. You will see that in 2014, the numbers at the top show the performance, and the numbers below show where we should be the target. You will see that we have achieved our target in 2014. We created 1.1 million opportunities. But when we come to year two, which is 2015-16, you will see that the gap has increased now. We have underperformed. Actually, it's underreported because these work opportunities are captured by the implementing department. What we do, we give them a platform, a system where they can report, and we assist them as well. Is the technical capacity. The line starts to increase in Q in 2016-17, when we had a big shortfall. And now on the outer year of 2017-18, the gap slightly increased. So what it shows is that year after year, there is a deficit of work opportunity that we are not achieving. And when we step up in 2019, if we say that it is means that we should have already closed all the other gaps of deficit that have occurred in the previous financial year. So this slide shows the performance against annual work opportunity target. Still, we broke that financial year target into September. And as we speak today, we have got total number of 9,424 projects that are reported in our system. The breakdown for environment and culture is 2,204. CWP has the smallest number, and social sector is the highest number with 3,384. But this is because of the nature of the program and the type of the project that they have. Because, for example, if there was an ECD, it is regarded as a project. So, in terms of work opportunities, in terms of the target, we should achieve 1.4 million, but where are we today? Then the first graph on the left, bottom left, it shows the current performance. For example, the environment and culture sector is at 46.6%. Infrastructure is at 35%. NPOs is at 35%. So what is the issue here? The issue is that we have expected infrastructure to be above where it is. Because if you look at the breakdown of the work opportunities, infrastructure is the sector with the highest target. And during the starting days of the PWP, it was mainly attributed or seen to be an infrastructure program, because the rest of the infrastructure joined later. So it shows that yes, there are some challenges in terms of reporting. But I'm asking in case that we have got differences in terms of technology that we use. That's why I'm saying reporting. Because if you go out, when the Inspector General go out to the municipality, they pick up that there are so many projects that have been implemented.
Chair, can I just interrupt just for clarity? On the graph that we're looking at, I mean on the table that we're looking at, percentage achievement against annual targets, okay, for the 17-18 year. Clearly we've not completed the 17-18 year. Mm-hmm. So when we say 35%, we say 35% as of what, the end of the second quarter? You see, I think that's important to clarify, otherwise one gets a problem. You know, it's still not good, but it one gets an even worse impression.
Thank you. Please do clarify such, so the DM must not feel compelled to clarify because you're not clarifying. If you see it is not clarified then, so make it easy, explain which period, so that this is easy.
I will do that. So the infrastructure at 55.1%. As at the end of the second quarter. Actually what we do a straight line projection. Mm. Because at the end of the second quarter we should be at 50%. Mm. So now when we are at 35, it means that we have a shortfall of almost 50%. Mm. So the overall performance at the end of quarter two, we're sitting at 42.4%, which where we're supposed to be starting at 50%. So this slide shows the performance of municipalities and provincial tiers. What we do, we try to separate this from the municipal tiers talk mainly of the municipal project. And these are the targets. If you look at the middle column, we are putting targets where we have committed, or where provincial department, coordinating department, have committed, because there's an agreement that we have written with them, and they agree to say, yes, we are going to provide this number of locations. So that's why we break it down per point. So if you look into the performance achievement in line with the target, or again, the target, the province which seems to be doing well, even at Q2, is Eastern Cape. If you do the straight line, as well, there was supposed to be a 50, but you could see that there is an overperformance by 71%. Then it shows second KwaZulu-Natal with 66, and this performance is encouraging because these are some of the provinces, for example, KwaZulu-Natal is the largest or biggest number of municipalities. So the table below and the graph below, it shows performance on full-time equivalent. We're not really focusing more on that for now, even though we are reporting it below. And full-time equivalent is a factor. We look into how many days are people employed, and you check how many days will they be employed at the end of the financial year. Equivalent to full-time. So we are doing quite well there. Because it shows that the number of people in the EPWP are employed for a longer period. Mm. They are staying more days in the country. Mm. So this one shows provincial and municipal spheres, but the focus is we wanted to check which sector in which province is doing that. Because already you see that in the Eastern Cape, the sector which is doing quite well is the infrastructure sector, provincial roads. Mm. In the KwaZulu-Natal, the sector which is doing well is infrastructure. That's why there's a problem like UN. It means that where this programs are well structured, you get more impact, you get more work opportunities because of the nature and the design of the program. So it's just showing that. But at the end, you'll see that the best performing sector in all the provinces goes to the social sector. But because of that, some of the problem issues, for example, in Mpumalanga and the infrastructure sector, you find that it brings that whole number down. And if you look across the province, you'll be able to see that the infrastructure in Mpumalanga, in KZN, infrastructure in different places are doing much better. So now what we do, here we have tried to look at the value. So say between quarter one and the 6th of November, how many new work opportunities we managed to find? This gives us an indication whether at the end of the first quarter we'll be able to achieve our target. So you see, in total, during the Q1 and the 6th of November, we have had a total number of 243,067 new work opportunities that were reported on the system, which shows that towards the end of the second quarter and third quarter, that is where we find so many public bodies starting to come on board in terms of reporting, capturing and reporting these work opportunities. So the graph down there just shows the pie chart of which sector, in which sector did we get a lot of work opportunities. You see that in the environment and culture sector, that is where we get 24, followed by infrastructure. So which is a good picture, because we're starting now to see municipalities coming on in terms of reporting, maybe because of the difference that we have in terms of the funding challenges between the national government and the municipalities. So this just shows us how we are performing in terms of our targets for female and youth. The red sector indicates performance of the youth. You can see that we have broken it down per program, per sub-program. You see that we have got some programs that are very good in employing youth. For example, tourism and industry doing very well. Our NYS program, our contractor development, sustainable energy, those are the programs that are doing well in terms of bringing more youth. But in terms of female participants, we have got our national nutrition program, our ECD, those are the social sector programs that are bringing more women into the program. And of course, it's a good thing because we have got a 55% target in terms of the overall number of our people to be female. And we've got a target of 55 for youth. So the picture shows us which programs are good in terms of bringing women and which ones are good in bringing youth. So, but what are the challenges that we encounter in the implementation of EGW and in terms of reporting? As I said, that we are a coordinating department. Our main responsibility is to coordinate reporting and to show that intelligence about the public. But we have seen that there are a number of challenges, especially as an environment, where the work opportunities that are created through the MIG, they are not really coming, and we have a technical support program where we assist them to report the work opportunities. That is still an area of concern where we need to put in our efforts and ensure that they come on board. We have the CWP then, but already we have already come on board in Q2, and as we speak, it's starting to shoot up to more than 38%, which is a good indication. So the first bullet that talks to poor reporting, it comes from the Auditor General, because when the AG goes to the field or to the public domain, they found that we give them a file of participants and projects that are not in the video. But when they go to the public body at the municipal level, sometimes they don't find these records. And we have put it clearly through our ministerial determination on which record should be kept by the public body, which is implementing the EGW project. So that remains an area where we are trying to assist the public body through our technical support as well. So say, we even do what we call site visits, we go to the public body and try and check with them what are the documents that they have and which documents are needed so that they should be able to bring them on. And what we have done through the system as well, we have made it compulsory or mandatory that public bodies should report with certified ID copies, which is really a good thing, because when we track the individual. So then the another issue, we still have some programs that are reporting on this, but when we do our data quality processes, some of these participants relate with the public body that have reported them. For example, when we find that a participant is on TASRA, but then what we do, we look at the nature of the contract, we look at the nature of the work that the person is doing, and in most cases you find that these people have been employed as EPWP, and now they went out and got a government job. So, which is one of the indications that is showing us, if we verify correctly, that is showing us the number of people who have been absorbed, who were part of the EPWP in the past. So what are some of the strategic interventions that we're doing? Currently, we are doing the implementation of the phase 3 implementation. We were working on phase 3, and it's ending in 2019. Already, we have commissioned an internal review that is looking into what did we do right, evaluating where did we go wrong, and what did we do right so that we can plan properly for the next phase, which is within our different home. So the other thing that we're doing, there have been a lot of issues that have been coming to us in terms of how people participants are recruited at the municipality levels and all those things. What we did, we developed the recruitment guidelines, which have gone through the approval stages, and first we're looking forward to the last approval stage. These guidelines, they give public bodies a directive, the direction on how should we recruit EPWP participants, because we clearly saw that that was an area of concern and where we need to improve. Then another initiative, we are moving forward to the development of EPWP policy. Another issue, as Mr. said, we have elevated the poor and other reporting of EPWP to some of various political structures for political intervention. We talked about the PCC, and we've got a structure called IFP, which is chaired by the deputy president, which is trying to unlock some of these challenges. The other element, what we do with time to improve in terms of how our assets or outputs are reported on EPWP. The system that we have in place, when you capture a project, you should be able to tell us the expected output. The system measures that you will be part of punching in terms of percentage. If that output can be measured in percentage, then the system calculates that. But what is good is that we have even have a description of the output that needs to be provided. For example, if you are doing road construction or maintenance, you should be able to tell us in terms of the kilometers of road cleaned, the kilometers of road maintained, and something like that. So we have a full report on the system that talks to those per each project. The other issue, we have been having some challenge of reporting, of fully reporting EPWP comments, because at certain levels of the municipality, people will say that some of the projects are not EPWP, but they are providing temporary jobs. And this is an area that we need to intensify to ensure that everybody who is creating those opportunities through public funding should report. Then the ongoing training on human monitoring and evaluation requirements, this is what we've been saying ever since the phase 4, because we're now using a new system, which is doing quite very well. We are continuously training and capacitating the public bodies that are coming on board in terms of if they come to us and say that we are able to capture our data, we take the data with them and assist them in terms of future. If the people who need to be trained, we send teams with a full training team that is focused on that. So the last issue is the type management of the conditional grants. What we do in EPWP, we have got grants that we allocate based on performance to public bodies, to municipalities, to provincial departments. So what we need to do is to ensure that there is, because actually most of the work opportunities that are coming from our conditional side. That's why we say we need time management, because we go through an extent of writing letters to HOD in terms of withholding some of those plans, because we want them to come on board and support. And when we do some of those initiatives of talking directly with HOD, that is where we find that most of the opportunities are going. But we say that we need to improve in terms of managing that kind of program.
Thank you very much, Doctor. We are still in our answer.
Honorable Chair, to guide us whether we should go to the next items or stay a bit on this one for clarity, seeking questions, because they are two different problems altogether.
No, I think honorable members, because this is a different subject altogether, and then the other presidents will be dealing with, I think, if you have areas of clarity seeking questions, I think this is your time for even comments. Honorable Stoller would be one. Honorable Lillian Stoller would be two. Honorable Maciela, three. Honorable Fit, four. Honorable Fager, five. Honorable my sister, Shoba, would be. would be closing it. Okay.
Thank you, Chair President, and thank you for the first set of presentation. But my Chair President, my concern is about they are talking about the underperformance. Do they have enough capacity? Specifically, they can think about the performance. And the capacity to service. Because sometimes we will have better to our And Chair, I'm worried about the performance of Captain, because the population of Captain is 12 million. The backbone of I think you check Chairperson on page 7. And on page,
Thank you.
Mr. Benson, morning presentation. Oh, I'm sure what we can talk about. I think that the program, which is good, but if it is now, can be a priority, can assist in the issue of creating jobs. And abantu besifazane abona abantu ababhekelela kakhulu imindeni. So if the department can prioritize, ingabe yi ukudlula nje kodwa le khona into ethi uzibambele maybe kwamanye amaprojekthi ngabasebenzi bakhoprogramuya iyasiza kakhulu special sento yemigwaba where ubone ukuthi there is a challenge kunemigwaqo engakho not that road in the material. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Masiera.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Thank the presenter for the presentation that we got this morning. Chair, this is the most important aspect of creating jobs, especially to those people who are unemployed, most of them, and some of them it's also very difficult for them to get into the formal job position. So I think it is very important that we should keep the concentration on this and make sure that it does work so that we can reduce this unemployment, or we can make these many families that are unable to put bread on their tables to do so. Somewhere you indicated that the poor reporting. I think we should be in the position to assist to this type of provinces or municipalities that are not reporting for us. Not just only withholding the grant that they're supposed to get, because we are not really assisting the community that we need. We need to get in any time. But you did indicate that there is something that has been done. Maybe you should try to give us a detail. How are you trying to assist the municipalities, the provinces that are not performing as your expectations, their expectations? Because I think this is very, very important. The other issue is the one of recruitment. You know, that one also we need to be taken into consideration. That one. How is the new way of doing that? How are you approaching now? What is it? Not to tell you a piece of it, it's still going to be approved. Before it is even being approved. How are you changing it now? Because it seems everywhere there is a complaint. For example, you go to Boomerang, they will say it is done according to political lines. Only those who are from the ANC are getting employed. You come to Western Cape, the ANC people will say only the GA are getting employed. But we are not getting employed. How are you going to address it? Because there is that common complaint, which is everywhere. So you don't know it whether that is true. And again, my understanding is also that this grant, if people use them properly and they report, they are also given grant again because they've reported. And if they don't, then from there they use it. So I think it's very, very important that this reporting thing, it must be done properly. We must train these people in this. They must be identified in municipalities and also in provinces. Or we identify from provinces and we train those from provinces so that we task them to go down to their own municipalities and train something which is going to be really systematic and make sure that we get out of we are now approaching phase four, but we are still having a problem of people reporting. Honestly, we are not to be aware of that. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Honorable Rafiq.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I just got a few comments, and just adding to what you said at the beginning is that, and Honorable Evans to my left also says this quite often, is that South Africa works when public works, and there seems to be a problem there. One of the major problems seems to be the, my colleague on the left, Honorable Sitori, mentioned it, is the capacity. And if, even if you look at annual reports, you'll see that there's been underspending, and mostly on goods and services, but also on compensation of employees. So I think serious attention needs to be attended to the employees that are in strategic positions, because it doesn't help to have a department and if the capacity is not there to fulfill the mandate. So it's very important to understand. If I just go to a few of the slides to comment on, starting with slide number 6, which I just thought I'd ask today because I was looking at those four columns, and the first 15 years, those were first four quarters, and then if I look at the graph, it indicates it's just divided into 25%, but I just went across there with those figures. And even though, then if you look at the graph at the bottom of the left hand, even though the overall target that is achieved is 42%, it's mainly because of the outlier there, which is at 85.6%, which is your on the NPL. So it's just something that I've observed. Even if you look at the table above the target, then three tables indicate that. I mean, this is the information. I mean, you're telling us, so I'm just commenting on it. It's an observation that needs to be rectified. Even if you look at the annual works, work opportunity target of 1,400,000 and the achievement is only, that's about a third or 300, it's over a third. So it is cause for concern. And again, the same applies to the slide over the page. On page number 7, you'll see the same situation there. Your targets are, the top on the target is 784,000, and the achievement of the reporting is 365,000. And I do understand that the presenter said yes, that it's reported, but at the end of the day, I mean, it hasn't been disputed, so we must agree that what has been reported is an actual fact. And then on slide number 9, I just wanted to understand what is the significance of using that date of the 6th of November. Because it's in the middle of a quarter, quarter 2 end of September, quarter 3 end of December, so I understand that you probably indicated at that point in time, but surely one should report quarter to quarter. And so therefore I just didn't find the significance of that reporting on that particular date. And then last time we just appeared on slide number 10. Now that, what is for that? Spider web or something to that effect. But nevertheless, you see, that is good. That's what the objectives of the EBWP is, and we believe if that is achieved, then it will work. But maybe I'm in the wrong town. I live in Port Elizabeth, and we don't see these contractor development, sustainable energy, and all those things. All we see with the EBWP is the obvious overall sweeping streets and cutting grass. So, and maybe one should look at when we do that actual reporting is, is that focus should be on achieving those so that these EBWP beneficiaries end up getting out or be given an opportunity to get out into the workplace and thereby achieving permanent employment. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Vedder.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you very much for the presentation. I'm a strong believer in EPWP and the importance that it brings, and I want to just reiterate again today, for those that haven't heard the spiel, some of you have heard the spiel too many times already, but just to say, it's easy to put these big numbers on papers, and to deal with it as a project that you know, it's just a project and it's just numbers. But we must remember that this EPWP specifically has a direct impact on people's lives, and the couple of $100 a week that it can give to somebody is the difference between starvation and survival. So when we're not achieving our targets, just remember it means that our family is not eating. That's the first thing I wanted to say. The second thing, Chair, that I wanted to point out is that, you know, often when a presentation is this full of facts, one gets a little overwhelmed and you get bogged down in the facts and you don't see what's missing. But always with a presentation, what's missing is left out, usually for a reason. So I'm not always, and I say always to start with them usually at the end, but you can find a middle ground in between somewhere. But I don't see a single RAND figure in this presentation. So I'm just wondering, you know, if we've met 40-something percent of our target, how much of the budget has gone? Where's the money? Do we know where the money is? Are we spending all the money and only achieving part of the target, like we've seen with many of the other entities that we've covered in the last couple of months? So can we just have an indication of the money? How's the money going? Because I think that's important. That's what we need to deal with as well. I then also want to draw some attention to page 7, where we see that there certainly are three provinces that are laggards, Gauteng, Mpumalanga, and the Northwest. Now, I come out of Gauteng and I know that there were big issues in terms of EPWP recently, in terms of contracts that had expired and moratorium periods and people not being employed, etc., etc. So have those issues now been finalized? Is that what has been caused this underperformance, and does it extend to the other two provinces? And are we back on track? That's the big question that I want to ask. Then the difference between WOs and FTEs. So I presume that FTE is further training and education, and WOs is work opportunities. But I just see that there's a differential between what we're achieving in terms of work opportunities compared to FTE. And I think that relates to the fact that work opportunities are easy, you know. And it kind of furthers the bad image that EPWP has of the people in orange uniforms leaning on a broom or standing under a tree. Because it's easy to say to someone here, go and stand over there and pretend that you're getting a litter, but actually training them and teaching them and enabling them to battle their own way out of poverty and to give them that self-worth through some education and training, and, you know, preparing them for the marketplace as an exit strategy. That's the more difficult side of things. So I would like to see much better performance on that, and I note that that the performance is not as good there. Across the board, it appears that the work is not going in there, which to me is a problem. And yeah, that incongruency, it just proves the improvement leading image that is often thrown about. Then want to go to page 11, where it says non-reporting of work opportunities granted through own funding. Municipalities don't incorporate EPWP principles during their planning and budget processes. And having recently come out of a municipal environment, I am going to tell you that CWP and EPWP are not properly understood by the majority of people at that level. And as a department, Public Works put out a nice fat document. It was about 400 pages, I'm exaggerating probably, and then COCTA put out a similar document, and it was all in depth and intense, and I can tell you what, it landed in the bottom drawers of every councillor across the country and was never read. Okay. Can you not have a one-page comparison between CWP and EPWP so people can actually understand it without getting too technical and too involved, but to put that out and educate your municipalities, because then That is when municipalities will start incorporating it into their planning, is when they understand it. Until they can understand it, they're not going to incorporate it, because it's kind of just a number that gets thrown in and they say, okay, well, let's see how we can best use this. And that brings me to my suggestion. On page 12, we're talking about recruitment guidelines of Egillet and awaiting approval. That's your second bullet point there. Recruitment guidelines are not enough. They're important. In fact, I think that there should be a recruitment process, which is not a guideline, but it is an actual regulation almost, a process that is set down. Because what we've found is that there are so many different, and we've seen it when we were on our oversight visit, there are different ways of implementing EPWP, there are different ways of implementing CWP, according to the hegemonic power of the day. So depending on who's in charge, that's how the policy gets put out there. So I think rather than just recruitment guidelines, I think you need to put together some sort of implementation policy that gets pushed down, and included in that are recruitment regulations or recruitment policy, because that is where the controversy comes in with EPWP across the whole country. And it's been spoken about at length, certainly during our BRRR discussions. Excuse me one second. The sneezer doesn't want to come. Good. But the fact that people tend to get very excited or excitable and overexcited about EPWP jobs to a point where people are attacked, murdered, threatened, forced into compromising situations, women are taken advantage of, etc., etc., all for this couple of hundred bucks a week opportunity. Again, it's important to some people, it's a difference between survival and starvation. So it's a tool that gets wielded often, and it is wielded for sexual favors, for political aims, etc., etc. So I think an implementation guide is incredibly important. And then the last thing that I wanted to just touch on is I know that in May of 2016, SAMWU, the South African Municipal Workers Union, put out a statement stating that they don't want municipalities to implement or to give jobs to CWP and EPWP workers. Now SAMWU has a very strong hand in many municipalities. And I'm just wondering, has the department or the entity had discussions with SAMWU and found some sort of a middle ground where we can work together with each other, or is there still a position of opposition from the union? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Mandela.
Thanks, Honourable Chair. Thanks to the DG, the presenters. Morning to our Deputy Minister. Honourable Chair, I think my colleagues have covered some of the things I wanted to deal with. Actually, the first thing was the issue of the achievements. One wanted to check the issue of the achievement vis-a-vis the budget. We are saying that because sometimes it happens that on the work that you have done 24%, but on the budget, it shows 60%, which does not tie to the budget. So it's important for us to understand those things so that we can see whether there is value for money. It's important for us to measure that one as the people that are doing oversight. Secondly, on the issue of the recruitment guidelines, I wanted to say that I think you need to fast track it, because it will come up with the criteria and the process to say how are you going to deal with these complaints and challenges that are on the ground around the issue of the employment of the EPWP. So it's important to fast track. I know that, I don't know who is supposed to approve it, because they say they have finalized it but are waiting for the approval. When is it going to be approved? Who is responsible for that? so that it can be fast-tracked. We need to understand this one. Also, on the issue of the underperformance on EPWP, one is having a challenge because you talk about under-reporting. The understanding is that there is a method that you follow in the EPWP, that you pay certain amount or percentage, and then later on you pay according to the performance. If we are saying is about under-reporting, it's not only about under-reporting, because it also talks to the under-expenditure, because I don't think you will pay if there is no report, which is a challenge in a sense to say that the government is continuing borrowing the money for the implementation of the infrastructure and so on and so forth, only to find that there is under-expenditure. So it's a problem to us, that under-expenditure to us as public representatives, it talks to the challenge that it means to say the service delivery, something that the communities out there are supposed to enjoy through the program of the government, somebody's holding it back. I'm going to talk about, because it's not the first time, we appreciate that you have come out with the measures to try and mitigate these challenges, but it's not the first time. Long time, you know. Now I'm going to get a pension. You know, you were saying that you're going to meet, you know, you are meeting with the municipal managers, you are meeting with the provincial leadership or the officials to deal with this issue of the recording, proper recording, you know. It looks like you never change anything, because now you are telling us now that you are like coming up with the measures now. You know, this issue of the EPWP, from 2004 to date, you haven't get, you know, the formula to try and get that proper recording. It's a problem. We were once told that we are going to deploy the recording class to different municipalities or institutions that are implementing the EPWP. What happened to that program of the recording class, so that you can get an information that you can rely on? Because what we are getting, really, this year, this financial year, you'll get the other statistics, the other, you know. What I want to check here is about, you talk about the PCC, Presidential Coordinating Committee, and the IMC. When did that one started, that intervention? When did it started, that intervention for PCC and IMC? I'm asking this to say, how is it going to change the wrong reporting if you don't have people that you have deployed to, like, deploy, like, recording class that you can trust to say that these are the people that will give us information? If there is nothing, there is nothing. Because even if they can report to the PCC and IMC, they will give wrong reports. Wrong reports. And last time also you were saying that you were going to deploy in the province maybe the manager that is going to oversee this particular program. But now it's like you are reversing, you are starting afresh now. Measures, provinces, Department of Public Works is now going to oversee everything. Why it has not been happening all along? Where have they been? And what you have done about that failure for getting the correct information? The issue of the infrastructure grant, EPWP principles during their planning and budget processes, the incorporation of the in their plan by the municipality. Don't you have like terms of reference or something which is a guide to them, because you were saying some of your performance plan. You indicate that you go, you have the meetings, now you talk about the steering committees and so on. In those meetings, you just talk. There is nothing that is being followed by the municipality that you can hold them accountable, or those people that are implementers of the EPWP. Because you know, just going to the meetings, I don't think it will really yield the result. If also you don't have a guideline to say, this is the way we do, and we have the people that understand. I agree with my colleague here to say that in the municipalities, some of them, they don't understand this thing. Because the way it is being done, it is done at a national level. You take a decision, you finalize. At the end of the day, just go to municipalities, implement this. And they were not part of the process. You know, they are supposed to be in the center as the implementers when you start every program. I'm saying this because when I was in the municipality, this particular grant that we are saying, we did not know about it, you know, in the municipality. You know, that's why when I came here, I was challenging the issue of the method, that the method that we are being using, because it frustrates the municipalities, and they can't really deliver when you continue as such. So I think something needs to be done to try and fast track this. My colleague indicated that, you know, these people, you know, they believe on this thing because they have got nothing. And government has come up with this program to come and assist those poor people to try and have something on the table to eat. And they can't be disadvantaged by us, that the government has entrusted us to assist those poor people. Thank you.
Thank you very much, my sister, Honorable Matera. Honorable Matera, first. So, you'll close it.
Thank you, President. Mine is just to come with a comment. And we don't want to be expert. Can you just come and do a program because as a department? For instance, focusing areas on a training, ongoing training. We have to have a program that guides us in terms of training, because if we are not training, really can't do anything. We can't go on anything. Secondly, a gap between national and provincial. Because where I'm sitting, I know it's basically that the national and provincial are not, the region basically is not provincial.
Thank you, Chairperson. the advantage of asking the large questions is that most of them were post-operative. My son, thank you for the presentation. And never before ever, forever was there any questions about EPWD until we get it right. My son on your slide 4, where you say the work opportunity, phase 3 work opportunity targets. Now I'm always asking the question about target setting. Against what are targets? And if you look at the division there of environment and culture, infrastructure, community work projects, what interested me is that your target for 15, 16, and 16, 17, there's almost an increase of 100%. And then from 16, 17, 18, it remains the same. I'd like you to explain to me how you will go about setting targets. Ms. Jefferson, I've made a big question mark here on slide 5 against that all sectors. Why was there a decrease in the work opportunities? If someone can explain to me the 15-16 and 16-17, what happened there? This Jefferson, just a recommendation. If we could get in the future the percentage achievement of work opportunity targets and the percentage achievement of full-time equivalent, so that you can see beneath each other. This is the target for work opportunity and this is the target for full-time equivalent. That is on slide 6. If you could add in one graph. So say ENC sector, we have 46.6. Then on the full time equivalent, it was reached 28.8. So that it's better to look at. Then Jefferson, we set targets. Again, target setting. Do you use the percentage of unemployed people to set the target? Or do you just grab it? Because if we could have a target, this is the target, say, 2 or 3 out of the 10 in that province that is unemployed. And I know the numbers of unemployment is questionable, but at least then one can see what the target is. Then Jefferson, I just have to keep down on the state of unemployment on slide 8. I see there's in the social sector there's achievement of 110%, 104%. Could you explain it to me? I can't understand that. I want to talk extensively on slide 6. You see, if you look there, performance against work opportunity, equality, I use such a slide with this slide. If you look at the female national nutrition, is that what women are made for national nutrition? I ask you that because, do I understand it correctly? Almost 100% of women are employed in national nutrition. Do I understand it correctly? Must be that. That's how I mean. While, gender youth. Am I understanding this correctly? Am I understanding this correctly? You see, is it possible? So another one inequalities upon the family. From the set up, of course. I was not doing the unaffected of the nutrition before the talk of the Christ. I'm not kidding, it's just not as I keep saying that this that money is fair. NYS, a city Pakistan NYS.
National.
You see, you use acronyms that you don't explain. But leave that. That's not such immaterial. When you look at mass literacy, for example, there the women are almost 80%. While the youth, there's something that between 20% and 40%. Am I understanding this chart correctly? The persons with disabilities, they are there at the north percent. So once lost in policies and government is also laid down. But to public works. We die ongelijk. Dan zeg je maar met zeker, dit is verkeerd. Niemand reageert op wat ik zie, zo ik goed het is weg. Maar jullie willen. Jullie willen, maar dat is toch zo aanklacht niet. You are reviewing the third phase of EPWP. Let this be part of your review. I think I must stop there. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Adams. Now, Lady Adams, the Honorable, will close it. So thank you very much, Jefferson. Doing my colleagues in thanking the presenters what we asked them to come and present. But I'm a little bit worried that some of the details I can recall are not properly yet on what the worry was when we asked them to come and present to us. But first of all, let me, you know, with all the activity, there's also some positiveness in what the department and the staff are doing in terms of EPWP. Not as wonderful as we would like it to be, but still, it creates jobs, it puts food on the table, and also thank you for increasing the grants, although you've got the money to increase it more to the minimum wage. But thank you very much. I think people are very happy about that, and it is worthwhile to put not just bread on the table, but they now we can hire Rama to smear and put on the bread as well. Thank you very much for that. On behalf of the South Africans out there that relies on this fund. Also, I want to compliment them on the targets of the tourism and creative industries. I've spoken to some people that's in the EPWP, tourism sector, creative sector, and they're very, very happy about that. But I think what I want to pose the question, the tourism sector, what is the contribution of the Department of Tourism towards this sector, because I know that always the same project that Department of Tourism runs with the hospitality industry in terms of chef's food and those types of things with the hotels. But what is the contribution towards the Department of Tourism? And then on the CWP program, Jeff, what is the contribution of COFTA towards EPWP or his public work as normal, as always, as we've seen it with the harbors and the buildings, the leases, the provider for other departments, and other departments are not paying. Just that, what is the contribution of COFTEC towards the CWP program as such? Because the program that COFTEC brags about, the program and all that, but we know how bad they are in managing the program as such. And then, Chair, I think that due to global warming and to waste, environmental affairs have brought out a new waste management bill. Public works, I've seen that woman has nearly reached the 80% mark onto that waste, no, 80% mark towards that on the waste management as well as the coastal management as such. And the youth are lagging behind. What is the incentive that we can give to our youth and women and to further increase these numbers in terms of waste and coastal management? Because if we are not very careful, we might run into where South Africa will be overtaken, land space will be overtaken, landfill sites, sorry, will be overtaken by waste as such. And then also on our community safety as well, Chair. It's a worrying factor there as well, and as well as the contractor development, because I thought that the EPWP, in terms of contractor development or most of the problems, what is the exit or most of the problems, sorry, not problems, what is the exit strategy that you've got in terms of people graduating from the EPWP to the formal economy and to the formal job employment or to the formal employment? What is your exit strategy in terms of that? And then, Chair, the reporting, whether the inter-ministerial committee or whether the presidential coordinating council or who else can intervene, but public works, since when this EPWP program has come on board and since when they've seen this program, why haven't you developed a system or a template for everyone to do the same report? I mean, we're living in the technology world here. And I can't see for the life of day that 23 years into democracy, and we are going into the fourth, what do they call it, the fourth industrial revolution now, that we still come and say that we can't get proper reporting. I can't see the light of day. Technology is dead. If this other baby of yours, Deputy Minister, what is this thing called now? PMCE. Could develop a system or get a system that can assist it. Why not shut a big thing as EPWP? This is not a small component of the market. It's a big component because it creates jobs, it puts food on the table, it sustains livelihoods. So why can't there also be a system implemented or get a system like your ever system? Akibas system. Why can't you get a system like that for simple reporting? And Chairperson, my last question is the reporting of NPOs versus your municipalities. I know that EPW that's a problem because they say municipalities don't want to report. Because in certain municipalities, you know, that the EPWP grants are being used for other projects of the municipality and not for EPWP. Some of the municipalities are praying every day, please public works, send us more money for the EPWP program so that we can fund other projects towards that. There should be an eagle eye on that. If municipalities misbehave, self-sufficient. That's so simple. Work with the NPOs and NGOs. NGOs and NPOs, they will, if you teach them correctly, they will do proper reporting because that is the money and the grant that they depend on to feed people and all that. So if you can give us some answers also on your standing operating procedures, let me end there, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much, honorable members. These were quite valuable inputs and questions. I must just add, acting DG and the Chief Deputy Minister, on the importance of this project. I was talking to a gentleman from DRC, and the following day I was speaking to the one from Angola. So quite a number of them cannot understand how lucky South Africa is. They were trying to compare the systems, the efforts that the current government is doing to ensure that the people of the country are not left in the problems of hunger and poverty. So we're very appreciative of what the government, they even mentioned about the West. These are people from other countries. So they even cannot understand that some people here speak ill of their own government. According to these people from these countries, they say this country is almost like the biblical Canaan. So they think here, that's why they are flooding here. And they are not about to stop coming here. They say as long as this government is still doing what it's doing, putting people, in particular poor people, people who even have no education, but they are taken care of. They mention a lot of problems. The problem of a social grant that takes care of a child who is born from poor family, elderly, disabled. They think even in heaven, this kind of taking care of poor people is not happening. They think we are really taking care of poor people. So that's the people who are giving me feedback about the good work that South Africa government. They say there's even programs that go to the rural areas. Sometimes the rural areas were forgotten areas. They were labor rest. They were not forgotten. But now there are programs. There's electrification there. Even people in rural areas now. Even my sister, my daughter. There's electrification. There are now bridges that are linking communities. It's only happening in this country where even poor, remote rural areas have something to break on. So sometimes it's important that we must appreciate. But some years back, the whole world community, in particular the developing countries, were attacked by the disease that was killing almost a lot of our children in particular. It was called HIV/AIDS. This country, this government intervened and ensured that there's something to help the poor. So these people are telling me all these things. They say they are not always reported as positive, but from their country they say they will flood this country because they can see that the people here are safe. They were also happy that even on education, we have people who find themselves in university without their parents paying the tax. All they need to do is to work hard to pass their metric with
high levels.
So they were appreciating. So I'm saying public works, you have every ability to be appreciating your work. I join honorable members who are appreciating your work. Honorable Freddy Adams, what do you think? Sometimes there were places that really houses, homesteads disappear because people could not eat immediately after the passing away of a father who was a mine worker somewhere. After the passing of that person, that home would disappear. Mm. But since this government has come in, now homes even that are headed by children are surviving. Even women and families are now surviving because public work is also aiding, supporting. So this work that you are doing is a godly work. You must appreciate it. You must also write it down. When one day you pass on to another world, tell the men there that I said you have done a godly work. So you should be appreciated. Because you didn't assist only the heavy guys, but the small men that should be taken care of. So it's a good work. I am happy that Honorable President Adam is saying is not only providing bread, but even drama. So that's bread. So
that's
what I've seen it. And I've seen it. Remember, I'm a rural boy. I come from the remote rural areas of Lusigisi. Is it? So I've noticed your programs even then, but I also visit many rural areas. From Kaberinga, I'm from there. Venda, I'm from there. So I visit, I move around South Africa. So I see your programs. So indeed, you are dealing with an important work in South Africa. Now, you must do yourself a favor by listening to the issues that the honorable members have raised, all of them. They have raised important points that if you listen to them, your good work can be properly recorded. It can't be only recorded in heaven and you don't record it. The men up there won't like it. So you may be punished for that you want the angels to record your work, you don't. Recording your work is important. Even lazy people do record something they do. Now you have yourself, but you don't record. So the issue of relying on AG as the institution that will tell you how you didn't perform, how you didn't keep your records, is not all. It means the department's officials are not equal to what they promised us in the interviews. Because I'm told, all of you in the interviews, you said you have what it takes. You can hold extra money. You have expertise. Now, where are these expertise? Now, you can't even give records of poor people just employing 100 poor people in this ward, in that ward. Why is that difficult? So please, don't undermine yourself. Keep records. Where possible, also ensure that you have your own internal auditing people. Don't always wait for AG. It's not fair, you are overloading AG. Because he can't be, he's only doing sampling, he's just taking few examples. You must go to apply the details. So you must attend to those details. So I think one honorable member, honorable chair, is saying you make them to sound like scratch records. Now that is not good to make honorable members of parliament to be like scratch records. So please treat members of parliament honorable. So since 2004, Honorable Madoba, they make you to ask same questions. They tell you what they said in 2004. They forgot that you have a good memory. You are honorable members.
not public works, Jay. Public works, okay, but we've got good memory.
So please ensure that you fix these things. But the one key question the honorable members have also said, because everything we do, the parliament allocates budgets to all departments. We approve, we ensure that all members, even those that will be not very well, we bring them in case maybe other people may not want to approve budgets. But they ensure that everybody is there to approve. Once the budget is approved, we must now ensure that we know where every cent has gone. Now they are saying here, you didn't mention anything about the monies, how much has gone where. Because they must compare, it's a good work that you are doing, it's a good work. You've been telling us in provinces that are not really doing, because it's good to tell us. Because we must know so that when we build in these areas, I am a Gauteng person. I'm both Gauteng and Lucifer. I'm a true South African. So it's important that we then can ask them questions. You see, so I think please do take to account all the questions. The amount we must know, because indeed many departments tend to say we have spent 93%, but when we look at the target, the planned target, they have only achieved 50%, but the money is gone. So that's what we want to be sure of. I think that question is our job, to ensure that the South Africa's money is assisting South Africans, like the people that are from all over the world are appreciating of the work we are doing. But you must check if indeed you are not using 50% of the money for something else. We must be sure. So that's why take care of those questions. They were quite important questions. But generally, please be aware the job you're doing is an important job. If only DM, we can ensure that there's no too much instability. People are not coming and going all the time. There's no too much changes, too many vacancies that are not taken care of, because we work everywhere, even in Harvard. We're giving a report that time in Parliament about the work you have done in small Harvard. I was proud when I was presenting that report. Others were saying, no, but you were not there when the oversight was done. I said, no. The portfolio committee was there. I'm reporting on behalf of the portfolio committee. They thought the institution does not disappear, does not die. So that is the work we have done, even on small harbors. We were able to mention it. Of course, we mentioned even where there are weaknesses. But sometimes we must look in both the good things and the weaknesses, so that at least we will motivate you to move and work harder. So I'm not sure. I thought we may want to take a break, but we still have another presentation. I want to check if I would have advice from members. You can take things one by one, or you can go so that we have enough time. So by one, at least we have time to prepare for the house and get. So can I get advice if we can move on, and if you want to refill, you just go out as one, don't make a walk out, just go one by one. So can I get indication, can we move on? Thank you very much. Dear Acting DG, we want answers. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, Chairperson. No, I can't match your biblical eloquence on I'm a bit challenged in the matter. But by agreeing to the colleagues, I'll begin with some general points, but also try to answer my beliefs.
Like you, and like some of the other members, I also share a sense of frustration. The members are saying they feel like they are stuck records, but I think that sometimes also the way in which we are reporting on the EPWP makes us sound like stuck records as well. So I think it's important to step back a little bit, and in a sense that was your advice in your summary. You know, so the expanded public works program began as phase one in 2004, and the target was 1 million work opportunities in the first 5 years. And we achieved the 1 million work opportunities within the fourth year, and then I think expanded to about 1.3, 1.4 by the end of the first phase. So we set, first of all, obviously, as we're all aware, we're confronting a massive challenge, and were then as well, of poverty and unemployment. And we said, well, there seem to be serious possibilities in the face of these crises to expand the program. And so we set an ambitious target of a fourfold multiplication of the target for the second phase, which was 2009 to 2014. And we said we would target 4.5 million work opportunities. And it was ambitious. We succeeded in getting to 4.3, so we narrowly missed the work opportunity target, but that was a significant improvement. Okay, and so on the basis of the 4.3 and the persisting crisis of unemployment, we said we've really got to push ourselves, not just as narrowly as the Department of Public Works, but as government, regardless of which ruling party might be in place, in which metro or whatever, that collectively as government, we've got to respond. Let us try to reach a target of 6 million work opportunities by 2019. Okay. So the first thing I wanted to say is there might be many ruts, but let's also just take note that there has been, whatever the shortcomings, which are being reflected as accurately as we're able to do, might have to do with under-reporting and other non-reporting and so forth, but nonetheless, even given those things, let's not become so pessimistic that we don't, you know, that we see lots of trees and we don't see the bigger picture. And I'm not making that point in order to disguise the many challenges, because I think the honourable members have correctly put their fingers on numbers of issues. But we can become so wrapped up in pessimism and scratching on the same issues there. And it's partly, I think, our fault in the way in which we report it. Okay. And it's a thing I've been trying to make with my colleagues. The second issue, I wish every time we report on EPWP, we would also report on what Stats SA is finding.
Yeah.
I think that's so important because, I'll come to that subsidiary point. So the last figures I've got, and I'm sure there are more recent ones, really the colleagues in the department, in the branch at EPWP should be doing this. So the last figures I've got go back a couple of years now, but since 2011, in the household surveys, Stats SA has got, when it goes to households, it asks them the question, because we ask them to ask this question, because we're not going to just check off work opportunities, but what's happening to the people in these programs, okay? We assume that the money they get, as the Honourable Writer correctly said, helps them put rama on their bread or, you know, whatever, it helps. But what actually is happening to them and also to the communities in which they, the non-participants, but who are members also of the community. So the last stats I see are that when asked, have you participated in an EPWP type program, that could be a CWP or any number of different types, that's the private employment program, when asked this, the last ever I've seen, but there's a consistent pattern, it's more or less the same each time. 12.4% said they were now in a permanent job. I was surprised, because we know that permanent jobs aren't being created in South Africa. So it means that there's a not insignificant conversion or progress, I don't like the word exit strategy, I prefer the graduation strategy or transition strategy. At least 12.5%, it would be so nice if it was much more, but 12.5% are saying we've got a permanent job. And I would like to think that that has something to do with the fact that they've got some work experience, some work discipline, some experience of working together with others, some reason to get up in the morning and to keep time and things like that, which you know, as poorly managed sometimes, poorly supervised, these programs might be, you know, we're talking about households where three generations have never had the experience of work. So we've got to grasp it like that. Okay. 4.8% okay, said that now have set up their own business. And other stats that we've got tell us that those who set up an SME or a co-op coming out of our programs have a much better survival rate than your average startup in a micro business or in a micro business or in a co-op and so on. And I think it's a 27% better performance. So we know that they fail a lot, co-ops in general, micro business startups fail. So there's a 27% improvement. And again, we think that has to do with the fact that people have acquired some work experience. They're not just having a bright idea and thinking a co-op would be a nice way. They've acquired some experience. 47.8% in the last survey that I've seen said they were in temporary work. Okay, so it's not full-time, it's not permanent work, but at least they're in temporary work. When I spoke to the statistician general, the outgoing one, I asked him, does that include some that are still in ETWP programs? And he said yes. So some of the sentences means that many people are actually in these programs for years now. The Zimbabwe program, for instance. 14% said they've gone into further training. So that gives me a figure of almost 80% have improved their life in some way as a result of participating in the program. 20%, unfortunately, have gone back into this radical unemployment that we've got. So, now we can't solve the employment problem of CPWP. Industrialization, localization, beneficiation, the private sector, encouraging investment, all of those things are the key to solving the radical unemployment. But we can contribute to that. But primarily what we are is part of, and that's why I liked what was implied, I think, by the Honourable Ryder. Essentially, we need to understand these programs as part of an incomplete social security net that we've got. Because the big gap in social security in South Africa is if you're over 18, you're under 16, and you're unemployed, then you're not covered. So we know that social grants, pensions, are not paying just for people over 60 and so on. It's fantastic, it's amazing that we're achieving, and your Angolan interlocutor who said, I'm not sure that you're the land of Canaan, but then I don't understand the victory, but it's an amazing achievement that as in South Africa that we have 17 million social grants going out, and hopefully will continue to go out. But it's also a reflection of the crisis we're suffering, okay. But the pensions that go into a household are used not just by the granny and the grandpa, but by 25-year-old unemployed and so on. It's part of a bit of cash inflow going into an impoverished household. And the same for me, the prime function of these public employment programs is that it's a cash flow into radical poverty. It puts Rama in the if you want to put it graphically like that, okay. But it's additional, it's not just a grant, what is nice about it. People acquire some work experience and they produce assets and services. So all of that school feeding, for instance, involving over nearly 100% of women in the nutrition program, that's brilliant for us, okay. They're earning a little bit of pocket money, but they're also providing school feeding to millions of kids on a daily basis, okay. So it's asset creative services provided and so on. Okay. So I'm trying to, and that's why I really appreciate Honourable Ryder for you saying that you like these programs. You're not saying there's not many challenges and we don't need to get our act together, and I agree with you on the issues you're raising. But the critical thing is, let's not bash ourselves so much on these. Let the contributions need to be about how do we achieve more. The reason why the Minister is not here today is precisely because the ILO always invites South Africa, they're in Addis Ababa, because South Africa is leading a world in which, thanks to the so-called Fourth Industrial Revolution and many other things, increasingly the unemployment crisis, the urbanization, linked to urbanization and so forth, is a global problem. Okay. And what we've done in these programs is seen as very interesting international best practice with all of the challenges. Okay. That's the happy story. But now let's, because I think, before we get too stuck in a rut and frustrated with each other, it's important to have a big sense of what that is. Then to try and answer, and my colleagues will help me with it, is there underspending? No. Okay. The Auditor General consistently finds that, you see, basically the budget that comes into our branch is then goes out again. We're a postbox for the incentive grant, which goes into every municipality in South Africa. All municipalities now are taking up the incentive grant into provinces basically. So there's and the money goes out and it goes out on time. So there's not underspending in that respect at all. And consistently we've got a clean audit in that respect. But there are reporting problems. And this is where we start to sound like a stuck record. My colleagues will talk about, even there have been improvements. And I think even what we're reporting on in terms of work opportunities are indicating the huge amount of work that they're doing, by the way, of going up to municipalities, speaking to them, going to provincial departments, going to national departments, which are often also poor reporters and so forth. Okay. Honourable Freddie Adams has just left, but of course we've got a system of reporting. We've got a structure and so forth. But municipal, I think one of the colleagues raised the issue of why did we seem to, we do have a format on reporting. There's a standard format of reporting, and we've tried to compute, to use IT to do. We can assure you that. The problem is that in a small municipality or in an underperforming national department, the ability to do it effectively and to input it into it is uneven, and that's why our colleagues spend lots of time, and they can talk to you, going in, targeting particular municipalities where there seems to be a problem, particular projects and so on. Could we do more? I'm sure we could do more. And there is improvement on that, and that's just give an indication of that. The reason why we seem to slump from 15-16 into 14-15, which was doing okay in the first year of this phase, and then we started to fall off, was that the Auditor General started to ask questions of us. And we said, but we are not the people keeping the attendance records. Mm. What we are doing is we are getting reports from the accounting offices in a municipality to say that we've created 400 work opportunities in a particular municipality. And then the Auditor General would say, the Auditor General might visit that municipality and say, where is the attendance record? And they didn't perhaps have them, or they'd lost them, or whatever. And so then we would get an audit finding against us, because we'd reported on them, but in fact, Advocate Bukele is not the accounting officer for what's going on in the CTCT when it comes to this public works program. But the Auditor General, so we've been engaging the Auditor General on this matter. But we must have to take responsibility for the CTCT, assist it, and so forth, so we're not trying to run away from it. Okay. Then if I could move on to some other. We're very nice to go with the Honourable Thick to Nelson Mandela Bay, because there's some very, very nice programs. Okay, so it's not just people in orange uniform. Okay, and this has to do with the diversity of the program. So where our minister is today and was yesterday in EPWP, has got a single basically EPWP type program, and it's infrastructure, and it's building roads, and houses and things like that. So single thing, single line budget. What we've done is something quite unique. So every municipality is participating. I mean, even if that's participating in the numbers of provincial departments, all provinces and numbers of departments within provinces, numbers of national departments are all implementing ACES, and we're working with the non-state sector, non-profit sector. So it's sometimes hard to see in a locality like Nelson Mandela Bay what's going on in that. So it would be very nice to go and have a look at Sopakana, which is a non-profit organization in KwaZulu-Natal, which it's true the government has done well, belatedly on antiretroviral treatment because we weren't doing well in previous years.
Mm.
And many NGOs were filling the gap.
Mm.
Sopakama was one of them, and Nelson Mandela Bay,
mm.
was doing home-based care,
mm.
working with the local clinic, and has had a bit of funding from Oxfam. We stepped in as the National Department of Public Works, and so they had five volunteer faculty working with the thing, and the clinic would say, Mr. Santa hasn't come from his ARVs this month. Go and see what's happening, but also look at the nutrition in the family itself. So they would do this, and they had a bit of funding from. We've moved in, and they've now got, I think, 278 participants in the program. So they've expanded to half of the case, and I think they're moving into other touches. And so that would be an example. Okay, so it's only 275, but it's 275 people. And there's stories like this in lots of places, and often, Honorable Adams, the other one, the one here, this fromancer, it's women, you know, who are doing this stuff in any case, voluntarily, home-based care, looking after people, looking after families, helping communities. So we can use the program then to also provide some stipends, some to assist them to expand the group and so forth. So I'm not embarrassed that there's so many women in some of these clinic programs. I'm so pleased that we are being able to fund what women typically, men are sometimes useless in some of these things, shouldn't be, but not. Women are actually doing so. It's resourcing social initiatives, social services, is what you're in here. Okay. Samu, this honourable writer that asked the question. Yeah, we have many challenges, not just Samu in particular, okay, but the challenges with the union. And the most recent challenge we've been having is the discussion around the national minimum wage. So we engaged the union movement individually in the case of some with some, but mainly through NEDLAC. And we report frequently into NEDLAC. And around the national minimum wage, basically we said that our position of government, was initially that we should be excluded from the national minimum wage. Because this is part of a social security system, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and they're huge gaps. Our participants are not competing on a labor market. They're completely excluded from the labor market because this is a dysfunctional labor market for whatever reason. And so this is an intervention that maybe help them get into a labor market, but for the moment they're not competing against municipal workers for jobs. They haven't got one. So it's a way of providing some kind of work, but also providing a kind of unemployment insurance, provision for the unemployed and so forth. The unions don't like that argument. So the concession that we've made, reluctantly, was instead of getting an exemption, an exclusion, what we've agreed is that we will be at a 55% tier of the national minimum wage. So the 20 rand an hour will be at 55%. And we've agreed to that because it works out to what currently, as a minimum, we're paying. Don't thank us, Honourable, the other Honourable Adams, for the increase in the stipend. That's the Minister of Labour that does it. Doesn't have a ministerial determination on an annual basis. Okay. But obviously it tends to be inflation related.
Chair.
Yeah.
Chair. I think the minister must take the compliment and not give the compliment to someone else. The media said, or the people said, thank you.
Okay. But the point is we need to be working together collectively across jobs. Okay. It's not about food. But anyway. Right. Recruitment. Absolutely. I think the point, I forget who was making the point, but I think we're talking about recruitment guidelines, but in fact what we want to do is to make these, you know, compulsory, basically, regulated approaches to how recruitment must happen. Given the diversity of the programs, you can see that there can be some challenges and there are different approaches. But that we've got a problem in this space for all the reasons that you were mentioning about the abuse of the thing. It's a huge risk, you know, it causes reputational damage. What is the principal, the wonderful and important program. And the worst of it is
the problem of ward councillors in particular, on their own, having the resources of them, they have practice, for them to reach individuals. Because even the honest ones then get exposed to, you know, 5,000 people queue up for 500 work opportunity jobs. And when they don't get it, then they'll say, it's because I'm DA, or because I'm ANC, or because I'm not part of his or her faction, and so on. So even the honest ones who try to run the business. So part of the guidelines is to say the industry is a transparent process where the community understands, can see visibly. There will still be complaints and so on, but at least you can show, involve a collective of people in the process and so on. So the guidelines are in that direction. We are frustrated that it's not moving as fast as it should, but we certainly want to do it. SEDs on horizon, in this context, stands for full-time equivalent, okay, which is 230 days. So a full-time equivalent would be 230 days of work in a year. And a work opportunity. Now here's the next problem. And I think that going into the fourth phase, do we really want to measure ourselves on the basis of work opportunity? What is a work opportunity? It can be anything from 3 weeks to 230 days to a full-time equivalent. So it's a bizarre measurement. Apart from perhaps being over-ambitious to try to get 6 million work opportunities, and maybe we are, but there's under-reporting, so we're not knowing. But so I had a good discussion with Mayor DeLille earlier. They're doing some nice things around the drought problem and using people to do water leaks and so on. So 350, 260 EPW participants are going around, particularly in townships, looking for being trained in plumbing and so on to deal with water. It's a great program. But Mayor DeLille consistently, and I think we've been trying to tell her, is under the impression that these are short-term jobs and have to be. And the trouble with the short-term job of 3 months or whatever is that people just begin to apply the skills and then you move them on. So Mayor DeLille has been doing extremely well in terms of full-time work opportunities because he's been this chair. But the worst performing metro when it comes to full-time equivalent. Now, some jobs in their nature are of a temporary kind, a construction type comes and it goes. But the maintenance type issues, for instance, they are, 365 days a year basically required. So we need to shift away from, I like what the Honourable Adam said, targets, targets, targets. What are we targeting when we're targeting something? Often we're not very clear. And therefore we get ourselves into the same cyclical issue. So one of the things that I think that we must go as a kind of legacy passing on to the next administration. I think we must ask serious questions about, could the people be with us? We must have 6 million work opportunities in these 5 years. Let's go to 7 million. The VA said 7 million, by the way, in 2014. They're going to do 7 million. But it's a kind of mirage type thing. You can put people on 2 days of work opportunity and you'll get 6 million work opportunities, in a year. But it would not happen. Okay, I'm coming to an end. I know I've been long, but as you can hear, I'm passionate about these issues like you. just to try and answer a couple of those. There was a question about training. And it's a good question. But now, that's the other struggle. I'm getting it, I think. Okay, someone will have to answer on my behalf because I'm not understanding the note I'm getting, which seems to say that. They know that they're free to put us out in the artificial release. we're trying to collectively contribute as parliamentarians and as a department to this important shift. The training. Now, if we agree, and I hope that we do, that essentially what this is a social security intervention, but with interesting other features to it. And one of the possibilities of its features is that unlike a social grant, people do something useful, they create an asset, they acquire some experiences, and there's the possibility of some kind of training. Now, the trouble with training is it costs money. If it's certificated training, it costs a lot of money. But with the limited budget that we've got through the incentive grant and other things, do we maximize the number of participants, or do we decrease the number of participants but spend some of that money on training? And the answer that we provide is that we tailor programs to the particular nature of the program. So there's not a one-size-fits-all approach. Mm-hmm. So particularly with the youth direct targeted intervention, not all of them, but particularly with them, we try as much as possible to ensure, not that we ask, but implementing as much as possible, that there's a training involved, certificated to a CETA, and there's some lovely examples of CETA certificated training happening in numbers of programs. Okay. This year, something like, in our book, something like 25,000 or 26,000 people, participants in the program, received that kind of certificated training of one kind or another. Some trade skills, modern day trade and so forth. Another 200,000 will have received some kind of training, more of the occupational health, and safety type training, appropriate to the work, some basic training. So the Zibandele program, which is the road maintenance program, there is training, but it's not certificated, that people are trained how to clear verges, how to do basic patching of rural roads, and so on and so forth. Okay. So there's training, but I hope that colleagues then understand what we're judging. We would love to have everybody having certificated training, but that means that we would have to limit the numbers drastically. Mm-hmm. So it's getting the balance right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Last couple of points. So, well, first of all, there's a question. When did the IMC kick in? The Presidential Accord of Industrial Council, the PCC. Okay. So the IMC, I think, started in 2014 or 15. And that's because the Department of Public Works, Chairperson, is the coordinating department for this program that every municipality is involved in. Lots of national departments, most of them are socially, all provinces. And what we began to realize is it's very difficult for a DG of public work to, as it were, coordinate other DGs, like herding cats. Sometimes, not to, because they've all got their own thing. So we realized that we needed to elevate the...
Even more difficult when you are acting DG.
Well, it depends on the acting DG. The one I'm sure is quite capable of. Which is why from DPW we motivated that we needed a presidentially convened inter-ministerial committee convened by the Deputy President, and that is beginning to help us to have a bit of presidential stick and carrot, if you know what I mean, to help us coordinate, so that it's not just left to one DG having to coordinate other DGs who say, well, who are you, Okay. And so as a result of those meetings, one of the things that we identified was, as one of the colleagues said at the beginning, the citizens of Zulu, but even I understood because I heard you saying this earlier. You're absolutely right. It's one of the best programs we've got. And I really agree with you.
Good.
Thank you.
There's
a similar program getting there. Eastern Cape has got a similar program and similar numbers of people. Mainly women, by the way, interestingly. But Limpopo, why isn't it? It used to have a program. The figures are pathetic, actually. Northwest, lots of rural roads. Why isn't it doing
that? That's international.
The Gundalash, exactly, was a good program. For some reason, it's Pumalanga and so forth. So, what you're saying is we've got an incentive grant. But we use, now we haven't, this is still an informal discussion, that's an important one, in responding to, so we want the portfolio committee to tell us what we would like to get, which is, are we using the incentive grant effectively? At the moment it's called an incentive grant, and basically it goes to every municipality, a little bit against performance, that's true, but all of them get it, okay. and lots of provincial departments getting into problems. So it's spread thin.
Mm.
And instead of us saying, where are we doing well? Or where is there real potential? Maybe you're not doing so well, but there's real potential. Why don't we use that insect of God in a much more targeted way? So let's say we're going to spend on road maintenance, provincial road maintenance programs. They're nice because one, it's round the clock. Two, maintenance is not being adopted. It's not happening in any case, in any of these places. Thirdly, we've shown that we can really scale them up in KwaZulu-Natal and Eastern Cape. So let's incentivize that and particularly target other rural provinces, and some urban provinces as well, where there's also township roads and so on, which aren't looked after.
Okay.
Can I round up?
I am round.
The community work program. Someone asked the question. Yes, COCTA is well aware of it's had challenges. But COCTA is the lead department in CWT. It basically implemented through non-profit organizations. So it's the banker that it implements through them. They've had numbers of problems. We talk to them a lot, but we think that that's a program that can be scaled up massively. We think that there should be 1,000 CWP workers in every ward of the country, particularly poor wards throughout South Africa. That's a possibility. Let's get a lot of the incentive costs into that. And then generally also for the figures are telling you where we're overperforming as a department is in the non-state sector, also working with Sopakamas and things like that. That's where, you know, we're doing very well. So, yeah. I went on too long, but I was inspired by your biblical word. I think the colleagues may, I know we're going on quite long now, but the colleagues may want to talk a little bit about particularly, I would suggest the work that you're doing to improve the reporting. And please, this is now me criticizing, please stop reporting on two quarters as if it's four quarters. It's kind of confusing. I keep telling them that. I will you, I'm telling
them
that.
Thank you very much. We have the enemy. That enemy is called Satan. We still have this other presentation. If you can just focus on your key areas, don't compete with the DM. So 2 minutes each. Others you can add the like a narrative you are always giving us even at a later stage, like you have done. So 2 minutes each we are giving you, and 5 minutes.
Thanks, Joshua. I'm not going to be fast. I just wanted to touch on the DNA. The first thing is you will submit the report when I require you to document it. For example, we will talk about the land value. So we'll be able to give you the value of the project, the cost of the project, amount spent on wage, etc., etc. So that information will still include. The one pager on EPWP, CWP, I think it's just important because the trailer is pretty tricky. EPWP is what's known as Public Employment Programs International. So it's an EPWP is the umbrella body, umbrella program, which any program that's contributing to employment is struggling. So CWP contributes to EPWP. Its modality. And what we will do is they'll capture that in a page or two, particularly for municipalities. And the last point is to touch on this. Yeah, we also have the EPWP training program. Now, that training program is to respond to the common understanding, the common implementation of EPWP. So, the National Department has created a program where it trains all implementers and coordinators of EPWP. So, we have that common understanding. We can no longer use the action if we don't have a common understanding. And municipalities don't know anymore. Because they're all being trained in the same program, the same module, and on every module, you have the experts coming in to do the training. So the program has been running now for just over a year. So we are getting that right ready in the common understanding. So when we hear that there is no training, there possibly be someone who's got to take a training program. But I think within the next 2 years, we should have this sorted out. Thanks,
I think I just want to respond quickly on the issue of grants.
should we just stop the grant because the public policy is performing? So no, we don't stop the grant because they are not performing. What we do, we follow the grant management manual. So if we realize that the public body is not performing, we'll identify it, of course, through the system, then we'll write them a letter to notify them at the municipal level, we'll write to the municipal manager. So for the second time, we'll write them again. If we realize that they're not coming on board, we even have more than one session with them. We go directly to them and try to see what the problem is. So withholding comes very late, after everything has stopped. And I think I will announce it here now that we don't have withholding for municipalities and for provincial departments. In the last quarter, we only identified two departments, and for now, they have already come on board. So we're not holding based on that, and we are engaging directly with the municipalities and public bodies. We'll be able to address the challenge. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The last one.
Thank you, Chair. Honourable members, my presentation is going to be based on the prestige program. And in the meantime, I will be focusing on the...
Oh, you will now present it? Okay. No, thank you very much. Maybe let's conclude it nicely. In case there are questions that were not properly answered, you can, acting DG, do what you are... becoming known for, to add more narrative documents on the areas that you think the portfolio committee must have. But one area that I think we must encourage you to is the, when you look at provinces and municipalities, because the provinces and municipalities differ even in terms of the potential projects. So you need to then advise us, because we want to recommend particular specific projects per municipality, per that province, because we don't want to put them, like when I was talking of Rivandele, having really lifted the spirit of ordinary women in the rural areas, so there will be key projects that you think this project has a potential, it has a it can lift up, so that in this municipality as well. So we like your program because they go in municipalities, small entities, which they cover the whole South Africa. We want to put it some of those in the recommendation. So in Panda, your incentive grant, it should sort of encourage those program. So if you can put something and send it to my office where your advice, so that we put it in our recommendation, how your incentive grant must be used in specific areas. So you have the view of the whole South Africa, knowing this area, knowing that area. So you don't forget Lusigi and Flexam. So I'm born in two towns. So you also remember, I'm also born in Daum, you see. So I'm a difficult person. I move everywhere. So I'm quite difficult. So if you can do that, it will assist us to assist you. There's an issue you didn't really respond. You'll elaborate in the narrative document, you know, the issue of the budget. So the GM did assure us that you are doing well. So, but in the presentation, you were not really comparing with this how much you have spent, because we are monitoring and how your expenditure patterns go. So, but in the narrative, I think you'll do that. I think we generally we are saying the program is a very well program. But please make it look good by doing what you know you should be doing. Include the finances. Let's keep in touch, because as we move around, we also have a duty to
next mayor's account. So I have also former mayors here. Yeah? So when we know what is the problem in that municipality, so it makes us also to make them account. When we move around, say, where's the problem? Yes, this is your problem. So do share the information. I think that will help this program. It's a program that it's a good program. So thank you very much, DM. Thank you very much, DG. So, but I hope the DM, you know that this committee, the acting, convey the message to the minister, should not be how we understand the department. Acting. So work hard that you may report sometimes that you are now over that. You should not be, don't get used to calling people acting. So people must also know where they are. Because it makes them to plan properly. You know, when you are acting, sometimes you're not sure. So you don't do other things because you think you may do your best when you are helping others. So people give up when they know where they stand. So thank you very much. Now, in the presentation, we would request that you don't really go page by page. That's a key area. If you can do it in 15 minutes, so that the honorable members can then ask questions, because you still come back. So, but just go to key areas, touch here and there. 15 minutes, because at least we do have the package, so you don't really have to go page by page. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, honorable members. What I will then do through your guidance, Chair, I will only speak to slide number 15 and talk to the content. In the main, I'll just give the program overview. My colleague, the regional manager, will come and talk to the conference of the meeting in Cape Town. As per slides 4 to 5, I provided the function of the prestige program, and there was also provision for the clients that we are serving. As per this slide, they are listed there. And I also provided the support structure both in Victoria and Cape Town. And of course, the areas of operation is Victoria and Cape Town and there. The other part that I was also expected to cover was on the work or the functions of the parliamentary religious board, which is just a pure extraction from the act itself. The request
so that maybe you need to pick up a little bit so that our recording team must hear you. You are too soft.
Okay. The next part covers the work of the functions of the parliamentary religious board, which is in the main an extraction from itself. In our previous appearance, we were requested to convey a copy of the text, which I got confirmation that it was circulated to the secretariat to the honorable members. Now, the functions in the main are four, which talk to the issue of transport, the issue of the meetings, which was happening every three months, and also other additional responsibilities which the Minister of Public Works can assign to members of the board. Still under the board, there was also a request for Public Works to provide all the names and contact details of the current board members. Confirmation is that was also provided all communication to the secretary of the board. There were also letters required to be sent to the last indicated party that there is going to be elections in effect from next year from the Executive Committee. And immediately thereafter, there will be a submission nominating the new members to the board. Confirmation received is that was also done, Chairperson. If I may step off the item on the parliamentary religious board, then before I do that,
There was also a request for us to clarify the issue with regard to transport. And there is a specific slide which talks to the two contracts for the bus transporting the members and also the students to school. It also indicated what the exact figures are at each contract. And we also provided a table which indicates the detailed expenditure amount up until the end of September. May I humbly request my colleague President to take over the project.
Chair, thank you very much, and honourable members. Just on the one page that you've got, not the presentation, the other page, Basi was reading from this page now, giving an overview of the question that was asked. I just want to highlight on page 8 with regards to the access control security. And there we address the issue around the Pelican Park entrance with regards to the measurements that was used, and also the question with regards to who initiated the access control. If you look at 3.6, the necessity of a new entrance is emanated from a security advisory report. So in this document that we issued with regards to the questions asked on the 5th of October, we then try to address some of the members' concerns. And then also, just briefly on the issue on page number 9 with regards to the voice over internet protocol, the voice system, we are busy repairing the challenges that we had in the three parliamentary villages. We did indicate that in Pelican Park there is quite a few units that are not working, and that's because of the one house that was burned, and because of the wiring being in a circular system, we are busy repairing that, so we will have all the intercoms repaired within the next week and a half. And then also on page 10, we're giving you a list of the people that benefited from the furniture from the 5th Parliament, one of the questions asked. And then the issue with regards to the CESMOL officials and the work that we're currently doing with Nolita. So those are then some of the questions that was asked by the members with regards to project related. And then, honourable members, in the presentation that was handed out to you just briefly, from slide 11 onwards, we've then added some of the comments, questions that you've raised, particularly with regards to the status of the contractors, with what is their triple BEE status and the level, and then also with regards to whether any one of them has included women equity. So on slide 11, 12,
which document?
Sorry, slide 22, my apologies, Chairperson. Slide 22 and 23 and 24.
Are you referring to the initial version?
Just the big presentation. My apologies, I was. Slide 22. There we added the additional information that was requested with regards to the triple BEE status, and then also declaring women equity in the contractors, and then also the other request that the members asked, why the difference between the initial contract value and revised contract value, we've also explained there in the slide 22 and 23 and 24. We also indicate the projected completion dates as the members have requested. Chair, I don't know, in short, that is just the additions that was asked at the last meeting. Thank you.
Thank you very much. You really
superb. We told as many things in a few minutes, and directly that's where the information is. Honourable members, you now have time, so we're working towards ensuring that by 1 we are done, so that at least you do prepare for the house. So if we can, our questions up to half past, so we give them time to respond, 2 minutes each, if possible. My sister Patricia Adams should be the first. My brother Keta Sole will be the second. My sister Madova would be the third. Honorable Reda, the fourth. Honorable Masiera, close. 2 minutes each.
Thank you, Chairperson. I don't have a watch, so you must call me at 2 minutes.
Okay.
Can I stop you from asking questions, Chair?
Yes.
The first question on page 70, slide 70. Prestige climate. Those 1, 2, 3, 4, top clients. That information, is that security trusted? Then, Chairperson, I want them to explain to me who are the accounting officers, the sessional officers, the members, support staff, are they housed in the parliamentary villages? Where are they housed? Then, Chairperson, or the provision of domestic services. What does domestic services entail? Chairperson, I've looked through, but I must, it's much quickly, but I've seen nothing about renovations at Kudum. I don't know where it is. And I asked the question last night. I haven't seen it yet. And then, Chairperson, you know, we are almost 4 years here in this committee. Now, I'm on slide, not now, but I think it's slide 29. 29, not now. Explain to me, members designated their private residence as official residence. What does that mean? And if I designate my private, you know, the thing like in the papers about the Western Cape saga, my menagerie. What happens after my term is ended? As this dear Sally Park, what do you mean? Yeah. That's the word that I'm looking for. Will I be taxed on when there is reservations done, security reservations, other reservations, bracket, are they as a ring fence, the kind of renovations, are they ring fenced? Can I ask, for example, for the Olympic standard swimming pool? That's why I'm asking, is it ring fenced?
Yeah.
And is there a budget allocated for it? Chairperson, thank you.
Clear guidelines on these matters so that we can do a proper oversight. Okay. Yeah. Who I think Sitole was the second.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you for presentation, Chair. Second time.
My chair, what I want to find out is about the duty. That capability that the metric has are not working. Banking and they are all not working. I even thought to other folk, the officials, I don't know, they feel they are going to look at it, they are not working here. And the second of the chapter is the sort of a cool tower. The air conditioning. Yeah, most of them are not making money. It must be made. They feed them to one little another thousand their location. So what I want to find out who's responsible for that air conditioning. And the last question is that that man that staff from Germany who was in, I think their passport was there in the fire. What is the basis? Because I saw that before the fire and I don't know what on which page, on this one. What is the basis? Because it's supposed to be escorted now by the police when it's closing this to me. What is the basis? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Madrava. Pass the mic. Honorable Madrava.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. Thanks to the presenters. No, one wish to appreciate the detailed responses on the questions that we asked in the previous meeting.
Mm-hmm.
It really assists.
Good.
And also appreciate the fact that we raised the concern on the issue of the intercom, and it was quickly fixed, although you have not yet finalized. We have to appreciate that, because it has been lying there for a long time, not being fixed. But when we raised with you, it was quickly. That's why we are saying we appreciate Acting DG that you really responded on our request. Also, on the issue of the gate, we know that really, especially where we are staying in Pelican Park, we appreciate the new development, you know, on the gate, but we indicated the challenge that the gate is small and the buses are bigger. Is there any provision that is going to be done to really correct this small gate, because it's not being used by the buses. The buses are big, but it's a new development. If there is any other provision, I'm covered on the issue of the team in the past by a nearly say comrade. Honorable Toll. Lastly, Chair, on the issue of the triple BEE status, especially on the issue of the youth and women, is it now going to be a practice that any contract is going to include this, as it is now a policy of the government, so that in future we don't have the problem when we do the oversight? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honourable Rider.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, page 27, we're saying Nolita is the contractor. I've Googled Nolita, and all I've got are pictures of attractive young ladies. Is it Nolita Pty Limited? Is it Nolita Nyasi? Is it, you know? Yeah. Okay, then, Chair, I see that... Slide 30, but the Rekosdal complex, spending 109 million rand on this complex. I don't know much about it. Is it a big place? Is it a small place? Perhaps a breakdown of that or an aerial photograph. What are we talking about? Are we talking about an apartment complex or a homestead? Kind of a homestead, something like, I don't know, you know, I don't know. If we can just, it's a lot of money. It really is a lot of money, and what's listed here for 109 million, unless it's a substantial place, would be concerning. I'm going to leave that one out, because my colleague wants to tackle that one. Page 34, again, Fernwood Master Plan, broken down into 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Totals again, 99 million rand, 98,906, okay. Again, I don't know the premises, I don't know where it is, what it is, but to remove trees and plant new trees for 12 million rand is a lot of money. What are we talking about? You know, perhaps a site visit or something there would be useful, or a lot more information. And then just perhaps a request, I'm not going to prioritize my own house in Acacia Park, which happens to be D18, if anyone's taking notes. But just the maintenance requests that are happening, the 6 month, 8 month turnaround time, you know, the fact is that, you know, small issues become big issues if they're not dealt with timelessly. And just those simple maintenance things, we've seen it. We keep pointing fingers at user departments that are not doing their best. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. The last is Ms. Masiera. Ms. Masiera.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. A lot of my questions have been asked already. But I wanted to check, Honorable Madlock has already asked about the game at Health Center. Do you have a way of correcting it? What is going to happen going forward? Because as it is now, the buses that you are handling, they cannot use the new gate. Probably they use the wrong measurements to create the new gate, and they are not usable. So how are we going to correct that? The furniture that is being donated or given to those other structures, is it happening only here in Cape Town, the parliamentary village, or also in Pretoria, do you also do the donations? How is it done? How does those institutions, how will they know that there are those furniture that they can request? Maybe we can get that one. The renovations just before the new church starts, which ones do you really concentrate on? Because I think there are those that we really have to do them. Like a bus, for example, getting into a house for the first time, coming in because that the bus is terrible. It's not renovated. And yes, you put somewhere in the hotel saying you are busy renovating before you can get in. But when you get in, it's not there. I don't know what went wrong. It was not part of the renovations and so on. Maybe I would say there are those that definitely need to be attended to in the new term before the people come to. Are we really looking into the renovation of the center?
Thank you very much, Honorable Freddie Adams. The friendship is a very small one. The last time some of the members complained about the buses. The regional manager did his best to talk to the supplier of the buses. But still, it seems to me that the supplier is not listening. He's just doing as he pleases. He still got complaints from members about the dirtiness, the smelliness of the buses. Some of those buses has got a lowering mechanism, the new buses that they use. So it possibly will spend such a lot of money. And I don't think that the contractor or the service provider should prioritize these hotels first over the public works or members of parliament that needs to be transported. And send members of parliament close to buses because the buses have not returned from the hotel firms. I think public works should then be very firm with the service provider. And in no uncertain terms, so those buses, even if they park all day at the depot or here in parliament or somewhere, because public works and parliament pays for that service. They don't do it free or out of the love of it or so on. So I think a point in that should be taken, and then check the contractors that work in the park, who get paid, first of all. Secondly, how, on what process are they being appointed, as well as the main contractor we've got now, Bro. Was that put out on tender? How did Bro come to get the contract, the management contract, and what is the amount of that management contract? I don't pick it up in the
documentation. Thank you, Chair. Thank you very much. Honourable members, we have really tight in terms of time, so you have more time to respond, but still do the bit you can do, but I think it will be proper to try to answer, because some of these questions are from the previous presentations. Can I hand over to the FDG?
The workmanship
So that's why they need police escorts. We were also requested that there be a transfer of skills so that we are not held at ransom with foreigners being the only people with the expertise. So we've got the SSA clearance and we will be finishing the roof. Just as far as Pelican Park is concerned, in the questions, the answers that we gave, we're sitting down with the consultants to look at what is the alternative to amend the entrance so that the big bus can also enter in there. And basically it is just to improve the turning circle for the bus, and we'll soon report back to you as far as that is concerned. Triple BEE is included in all of our contracts because it's now part of the recent circular from Treasury. Nolita, Nolita Pty Limited, I can provide more clarity with regards to the company. Regatal is a block of flats where we accommodate DGs, and it's quite an old structure, and we are renovating the entire structure in Rondebosch. We can definitely organize a site visit for Regatal and also for Fernwood. Fernwood is the parliamentary sports club, as indicated in the report, we have completed the master plan and we are now sitting to just prioritize the projects, and we can also provide further detail with regards to that 9 projects that has been identified there. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. The next one.
Thank you, Chair. If I may respond first to the private residents. There is a provision for ministers and deputy ministers to designate their residences as a private residences for official purposes. That is in the handbook chapter number 4. And if ministers and deputy ministers do that, all what public works provides the one, it provides security measures and a mobile cutout at a specified residence. The second service that we provide there is the payment of water and electricity account, consumption-wise, on monthly basis. And what we also do, we appoint a domestic services for that specific house. So those are the three services that we provide in the main for a private residence designated as an official. And if the honourable member goes on pension or is reshuffled, the department goes back, retrieves the cutout and the payment of the services and the appointment of the domestic worker is terminated. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, I think we covered everything, but I want to come back on this one of pension. I know that yourself. Still an issue, the provision of furniture. To a large extent in the department, there are those who are aware that we do have furniture that we are no longer using. Some of them approach the department. Sometimes we identify institutions which we can donate. Sometimes it becomes an issue when others come in and they find that the furniture is disposed already has been allocated to others. I think the area which I think we need to maybe at the time and give everyone an opportunity to come and look into what is it that we're having and allocate the property. So I think this area has been an issue for some time in this, but we'll address it. We'll cover it. That thanks very much, but there's one issue that you want to discuss.
Sure. Just going back, Chair, on the issue of the privacy residents. On the issue of the private residence, when you look at the security measures, water provision, and all that, the private residence, it must be at the seat of office. That's what the handbook says. at the seat of office. So in this instance, for ministers and deputy ministers, it must either be in Pretoria or it must be in Cape Town. Thank you.
Sorry, Chair, just for clarification.
Okay, we don't want to then finish.
Well, just on that, the handbook says there's a 30-day period. Now, I really say honorable Basi. But Mr. Basi is saying that the service is rendered after the call or the redeployment of a member of the executive or a deputy member stops immediately. Doesn't that 30-day also count in that period?
Thank you, Chair.
Okay.
Chair, sorry, just three questions that we did not respond to. The one is on the buses from the honourable member. We will definitely go back and deal with the service provider. But I also want to request the honourable members to call us with regards to issues so that we can pin down this contract and the service provider. Then as far as the question with regards to the contractors that work on site, they are all vetted by SAPS before they can get onto site. And Chair, with your permission, we will then assist in oversight to not provide you with the details of Brawl, the service provider that is working within the parks, but it was an open tender process through which they were appointed, and we will then provide that information in writing back to you. And then also the one question the member asked about the prioritization of renovations of members' units. From our last meeting, you will notice on the answers to your questions on page 9, we have activated a project to deal with all the units of members, and the scope of that units will be include internal and external renovation, and we will also look at the whole issue of converting the baths to showers and deal with the challenge of the baths. So that is on page 9. So we will deal with the renovations of members before the 6th Parliament. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. In fact, I was going to indeed suggest that members must feel that they are not always referred to as honorable, and yet where they stay dictates that they are not that honorable. Because, you know, where you stay, it does talk about yourself. So you have managers in the villages, so who sometimes make audit check the situation. So maybe they must be able to assist you so that you prioritize where there's a need. You see, so they must, that must be attended, you know. They are areas, you know, watery, in the bath. You don't want that to leak because it's really messed the whole room. I think, honorable members, let's avoid other meeting. I'm here in other meeting. Can you avoid that? The Adams are busy talking about the Adams issues.
Honorable Adams was saying that questions were not answered, and I said that Honorable Basi answered the questions.
Okay.
Answered the question about the top four.
Okay. So you are helping this other.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But I think I'm happy that you are prioritizing the members. Let's ensure that in all villages, now that the portfolio committee has been talking about the units of members, where members stay, and the gate and everything, let's see the difference. Let everybody see that when the portfolio committee acts, you will respond positively. Because even when portfolio committee do indicate areas of concern, you just continue as normal, then that won't be right. So I would be happy to, in fact, my office, I would say they must check all the villages, the managers, check if there are complaints, how far they have, and prioritize them and we will do some work to check if there will be the movements towards that. The Pelican Gate, you said it will be corrected soon so that the bus can get in. Then there's no date on the soon. Can we have the date on the soon? How soon is soon? Because this issue of the gate was never supposed to have been smaller. How do you have a gate that was working well? Now you do an improvement, you close that gate, you fit, maybe you're creating jobs for contractors, and you create a new gate. Now the new gate is smaller. The bus cannot even enter.
There is now more work for contractors.
So now the portfolio needs more info on each.
Yeah.
Were there no specification? Who disregarded? Now we want action as well. What was done? Because there should be consequences. Because we cannot spend our money on gates of parliamentarians. When people in Marble Hall in Mpumalanga and Limpopo want citizens. So please, we can't be moving around here with people that, you know, same contractor. People must be punished for not doing the education. So we want a report on that. Even the explanation why, when there were gates that were working well, and this is Laboria Park where I stay, the gate there was working well, even nearer the shopping mall. Now we are taken to a new gate far away, and the bus must move very slowly. Well, the gate is small, but it can move, but you should be very careful when you pass through. So, Gandhi, who was this conductor that cannot even understand that we are using buses? I think we spent time on this one. Maybe in the narrative you are explaining, because I've not gone through the narrative. So those points are important because I'm not speaking good about public works. You are highly qualified officials. But your work, when you look at that, just these examples, is like you are not really qualified. Because when you met at a gate, you know what is going to come there. If you don't know that, the result, it then speaks a little bit. It undermines what you should be expecting from yourself. Mr. Johnson. So it doesn't help. So, you see, what I always encourage, we may go to church, fine, but avoid trusting that God will do things for you. Do things for yourself. You are strange, you are not God. So you must do your work. So because I'm referring to the minister that I know, pastors here. So, do your work. So that God does not become angry. That is not using the brain he has given you. Because God does not owe us. He has given us the tools, training, mind, everything. So please, let's use what we are given. Let's not use him as a scapegoat. Putin, it was God's will. The gym facilities, you're going to give a date there. You said you are negotiating with the in parliament, but you can't negotiate forever. Unless you are skilled people. So this, since 2014, negotiating, it can't work because you undermine even this term negotiating. It loses the meaning.
No, but you must negotiate with parliamentary to a parliament. That's where the money
should be. So why don't you request us then to ask?
We are.
But you have not approached us. If where you have a problem, remember we are a team. We are monitoring you. So where you are stuck, tell us where you are stuck. So that then we can arrange a meeting with whoever. So that, but these facilities, we cannot use money, put facilities, and then they are not working. It's like we were just spending money for other reasons. So then the facilities for gym in the villages, please, let's get a date. In fact, the date I would want to put, when we come back by January 20, all the villages, the gym facilities should be working. Because gym facilities are not really, you're spending millions, and they are not really costing that much. I think it's willingness that is not there. Gym facilities, I do have one in my house. It was 5,000. So, but for many people, you can buy the huge ones. Why is it a problem? Please, because it also talks to the health of the people. Members will die early just because of you. you don't give them training. Because we gain weight, because we are not exercising. So, can we agree that by end of January, or by January 20th,
the budget for the equipment is parliamentary. Not on that budget. That's the reason why I interjected it here. So, and that's what we've been trying to explain to the parliamentary sort of board committee when we meet, because this issue has come up, I think, just so that your deaths are not on our
hands. Yeah. So where the department has a problem, approach us as parliamentarians, the committee that do oversight. So I am clear if you need our assistance, because that's why the portfolio is to assist. But if you are spending, I see you spending money elsewhere, millions, repeating the gate. The money you have wasted in the gate, you should have bought gym facilities. They are not that costly. 200,000 would do.
Is it
changing furniture that are not in quality at all? Just change them because you just want to be seen to be doing some work. I think it's not very good. Now you deprive members of something that is a necessity of life. Now please, on the gym facilities, let's agree. You know, when there's a win, because you have a budget, we've given you the budget. If you want it to even the village, you said the one for villages is from yourself, really. If it's from yourself. But if it's from Parliament, that indicates where you have a problem, and at DG, let's arrange a meeting, and then write to me, let's talk about this so that we approach it. We approach the leaders of Parliament, so we solve the problem, because I don't think we cannot solve the problem. I think that where there's a problem, there should be a solution. But members cannot die because they cannot exercise. Because public work does not. You put a structure, and then you don't make it work. We just visited the Kumitata. There's a top of the range clinic with top of the range equipment, and they're not moving. So when you put your money, you must be worried that because you put it for a purpose, we must not think you were putting it for certain other things. So when you have reasons why you put that, and in fact the project management, I'm trained on project management, I don't know about you. So it says before you even start the project, the stakeholders must meet so that when you finish this aspect, the other stakeholder get in. So you don't start a project if you don't do that. So please, I think these things are embarrassing us, and we always keep on hoping that in future they will be corrected. But like Honorable Madoka was saying, and like Honorable Matel was saying, these are not getting corrected. Can we agree that obvious things, Kapunga put the simple things, like the clinic in Mtata, where you have done a good job. Why don't you want us to really give you appreciation? Where we must appreciate, we must now say, no, I have no plan to blame God. I have no plan, because I know He has created wonderful people. It is you. So can we agree that is attended to There's an issue about the Good Hope Chambers, the renovation there. Then we, you know, sometimes members ask for how much was spent to renovate the Good Hope, but the public will sometimes provide information on projects elsewhere. Maybe we didn't get pick up that one if it is explained. But if it's not explained, we want that information on that project. Or maybe you can tell us the substance in where it is, the money. Remember, the work of portfolio committee is to send money. Where is the money spent? If we avoid talking about money, then we'll be failing, because we approve the budget, then we must check how is it spent. Is it value for money? Like we are complaining now, money spent on things that should have been saved to at least be spent for members of the league. If there's no money, we can even go and fundraise then. For that's for members. No? People who have money, they put facilities for members. That's not the option if there's no money.
But if we have the members has taken care of it.
So you want to add that in 1 minute meeting on the renovation of the Good Hope Chambers, or you can come back.
No, we just want to indicate on slide 25.
Okay.
On slide 25, Chair.
On slide 25,
yeah,
in the presentation.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Chair.
Ms. Ryder.
Just on that, and I'll be brief because I don't have a microphone, but it's kind of given a glossing over. So I think we wanted a little bit more information on that. You know, it's glossed over, it's included as a sub-item somewhere there, and these are big numbers that we're dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be nice to have a little bit more, you know,
okay,
information around it. I think there's a lot of work that's been done there.
Thank you very much. So, but generally speaking, remember, we have said the presentation, it's very difficult to satisfy all of us. Sometimes we dig in deep, so you didn't know how much we want. So you gave what you thought would be enough. So you know what then happened to another request for members. So, but generally speaking, we are appreciating that this time around you are giving more information at condition. So there's a determination to give more info than otherwise. So we may not be satisfied here and there, but generally I think from the members' input themselves, they can see that you are trying your bit to give info. So I think going forward, you'll be really doing that. So can we agree that for today, for the department, the items you were presenting to us on, we are quite appreciative. You will improve where we have said you must improve, where we must assist you to approach Parliament. Approach us to do that. We are available. Approach us to do that. Where you think you can also devise other means, FNDG, devise other means. But gym facilities, come 20 January, members must be exercised in those budgets that you have put. So that's the reason you put them. So we must not think you are putting there for the sake of helping the conductor. No, there was a reason. It happened. So can we then thank the acting DG and the team? Can we also thank Ms. Lydia, the head, acting head of PMTE? Thank you very much for coming. So let's not work in portfolio committees. Even outside portfolio, my office is there. I have a good staff. So check work with them, so that you know how to locate myself, so that we service the people of South Africa. Your work is important. We thank you very much. We can then release you. We have one outstanding item. as members of parliament to finalize. While you Pepin will still be dealing with this, it's not like you are not wanted to hear anything. Honourable members, we are now dealing with the minutes. We referred them to the last point. Can we then deal with the first page of the minutes of the 7th November 2017? Second page. Third page. Third page, Mr. Reda. Open mic, okay.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, under item 4, observations, the first bullet point is incomplete. It says that the committee observed that a number of issues, as noted during the oversight visits to different municipalities and projects, will stop. I'm not sure what we observed about them. So that is incomplete and doesn't make a lot of sense. Then just matters that were stated in findings that merged, that should actually be emerged from the site visits. Those are the two material changes. But before I hand back the microphone, Chair, I'm not sure who we have wronged in the past, but this facility that we're sitting in to have our meeting today is really not conducive.
Thank you very much. That was page 3, page 4. Everybody happy with page 4? So can we then check the approval for the minute or the issue? Honorable Zaba? Honorable Zaba was moving the approval of the minutes with corrections as they were given. So we'll,
but what is the correction, Jim?
Okay. Okay, let's go to page 3. The committee observed that a number of issues as noted during the oversight visit to different municipalities and projects. So who must say something? So can anybody put something? What is that thing? The committee observed a number of projects. In fact, the sentence that follows from where I sit is building from that sentence. The switch should not be the focus. The focus is to be to correct minutes. You guys are working on minutes. Now we have incomplete sentence. Now I'm starting to think why you didn't finish it. Sure.
Honorable Chair, the correction is there.
Okay, let me hear the correction. Read it.
Progressively change the section. Progressively change the sentence to read: the committee observed a number of issues as noted during the oversight visit to different municipalities and projects. Then rebuild it with the second sentence. Measures that were stated in findings and that emerged from the site visit had to be repeated in the committee chamber. We could either do that or another option to try and change the sentence to make sense would be to say the committee observed a number of issues as contained in the oversight report of the visit to the something to that effect. Thank you.
I like the last one. It sounds good. So can we allow that one to be the one that will be in our record?
Yes.
And then where there was image, you got that one, that correction. That is not matched. Mm. So, okay. So there were at least only two corrections. I think you are improving. I'm looking forward to a situation where there won't be even one for a king. So do look into your own meaning. So there was a proposal, then a second for the approval of the minutes. Yeah. Honorable Joe, oh, you were absent in this, but you wanted to approve. Okay. Can we check? Honorable Freddy Adams, are you moving for the adoption of the minutes? Are you moving for the adoption of the minutes? Let's move.
Thank you, Chair. I move for the adoption of the minutes.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Mazziella. You seconded?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I second the minutes with correction.
Thank you very much. The minutes are approved with correction. Ladies and gentlemen, honorable members, thank you very much for coming in full numbers. I always get, encouraged by your questions and your comments to the department. It shows that in this portfolio, at least you understand why you are here. I always appreciate it. Thank you very much, everybody. This meeting is adjourned.